Automakers just announced big recalls. Toyota's recalling more than a million vehicles in the U.S. over a short circuit in a sensor that could keep airbags from deploying. And Honda's got issues with its hybrids. Here's reporter Jeff Gilbert.
The vehicle's 2020 through 22 model year CR-V hybrids have battery cables that were installed without a fuse. That means a certain kind of collision could cause a fire. Dealers will replace the cable with what Honda calls an improved part. No word of any injuries.
AAA says more than 115 million Americans will be traveling to their holiday destinations soon. Most are driving. President Biden says the U.S. is still working to get more hostages released by Hamas.
We're pushing it. There's no expectation at this point, but we are pushing.
It comes as Israeli and Hamas leaders negotiate another possible ceasefire. Correspondent Robert Berger.
Israel is said to be offering a one-week pause in fighting in exchange for 40 hostages, including women, elderly men, and the sick. In turn, Israel is prepared to release Palestinian prisoners, including Hamas militants convicted of terrorism.
A UN Security Council vote on a ceasefire agreement has been pushed again till tomorrow. The Biden administration says 10 Americans are now coming home as part of a prisoner swap with Venezuela. It involved a close ally of President Nicolas Maduro.
The close ally is Alex Saab. He was arrested on money laundering charges in 2020. As for the Americans released, they include two former Green Berets involved in an attempt to oust Maduro in 2019 and a California businessman. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
More criticism of Colorado's Supreme Court from one of former President Trump's 2024 rivals, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
I do not believe Donald Trump should be prevented from being president of the United States by any court. I think he should be prevented from being president of the United States by the voters of this country. That's what I think.
The state court disqualified Trump from its GOP presidential primary under the 14th Amendment. Trump plans to appeal. Boston's Mayor Michelle Wu is apologizing to two men for their wrongful arrests in the murder of a pregnant woman in 1989.
I will have these and want to present them officially as an official letter of apology to Mr. Willie Bennett.
Bennett and Alan Swanson were initially implicated, but it turns out the woman's husband orchestrated her death for insurance money. He eventually killed himself. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
You know that look you get when a loved one opens up a gift and you know that you've nailed it? The perfect present? Well, we have just the gift to get that look. Hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. The super comfortable, incredibly easy footwear people just can't get enough of. Because with hands-free Skechers Slip-ins, you just step into them and they're on. There's no bending down to the ground and you never have to touch your shoes. Once people try them, they fall in love. So how do hands-free Skechers Slip-ins work? It's like there's a built-in shoehorn in the heel so your foot slides into place. Then the exclusive heel pillow keeps your foot comfy and secure. Plus, they come in all your favorite fashionable styles, with and without laces. And in all the fits, stretch fit, wide fit, relaxed fit, and arch fit. That's comfort for the holidays and beyond. So if you're looking for the perfect gift for everyone in your family, get the greatest invention ever, hands-free Skechers Slip-ins, and make the holidays easy. Find Slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Department of Labor fines a Wisconsin sawmill nearly $1.4 million after allowing teens to operate dangerous machinery. Here's Brittany Merlot.
Despite federal regulations barring young workers from this, Florence Hardwood Sawmill allowed several minor workers to perform maintenance on equipment without training or following required safety procedures. This resulted in a 16-year-old's death in June when the worker became trapped in a stick stacker machine as he tried to unjam it. He was then transported to the hospital where he passed away 2 days later. Acting Secretary of Labor Julie Sue said, "There is no excuse. Federal child labor and safety regulations exist to prevent employers from putting children at risk. They also exist to hold employers like Florence Hardwood's accountable for endangering these young workers." Investigators also found fall, machine guarding, and electrical hazard violations at the Florence sawmill.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
One. Hurdy throws over the middle, picked off.
Moore.
Backside pressure, down he goes.
Game.
To the end zone. Touchdown, Braylon Allen.
The Badgers. The Tigers. Live from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida. It's the ReliaQuest Bowl. Join us New Year's Day. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A sunny and vibrant day. Winds are much calmer, so it's feeling a bit better as high temperatures today climb to the upper 30s. Tonight will be mostly cloudy and mild with a low around 30. And here's a gift. By Sunday, we'll be flirting with the 50s. Right now, it's 39.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this December 20th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two, we're going to welcome in our friends from the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. We'll speak with Amy Scheid and some friends and have a good conversation. Looking forward to that. Right now, in studio, we have Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. Shane, good to see you.
Good afternoon. Good to see you too, Gene.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate that. We send a big shout out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Thank you so much for being here. Encourage you to go to YouTube, type into your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page, and check out the amazing work that they are doing over there. We appreciate you guys. Shane, it's good to see you. Thanks for being here. How you been?
I appreciate it. Yeah, I've been doing good.
Good.
How about yourself?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. Appreciate it. I want to get into a couple of things with you, sir. Certainly, the end of your run, if you will, here. I want to talk about that. I want to get into a little bit of looking for city commissions and some things like that. But first off, I hate to do this, but I got to start in a little bit of an edge with you.
All right.
I've never been angry or jealous of you or any of these things, but I was a little bit. And Pam's with me on this because you guys landed a get. You've got at the Witter Aquatics Park Center going on this Friday from 5 to 7, Santa and Mrs. Claus. We've been trying to get them from Midday Magazine for a long time, and I cannot land that interview. But you guys got them.
Yeah, you know, Donna at Park and Rec, she's a phenomenal person over there who is making great things happen, and she landed that big account for us.
It's nice. They're very busy this time of year, so to be able to get them is very difficult. That's going to be a lot of fun. This is Santa and Mrs. Claus are heading back to Winter Park. They're going to be down there, stop by, say hi. It's going to be really fun for the kids and families.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great event, and we'll have to see how the weather does.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say this is taking place in the warming house over there. I don't know if you're going to need the warming house. I'm not sure, but it might not need it too much. Might be able to do this a little bit, have some little fun outside with this one.
Exactly.
This time of year, these kind of things, they're certainly fun and important, but they're also, they speak to the vibrance of our city, to the life in our city. And this kind of, to me, when I saw this, I smiled right away, and I thought, oh, I got a great shoe, and right away to start our interview, certainly. But more so, I thought about actually a last conversation we had about some of the projects that you're hoping to do, and one of them being lighting up the bridges and having some lights on there. And of course, this time of year, we have those lights for Christmas and everything. But you were speaking of something that is year-round, correct?
Correct. Yep. So I've been meeting with staff, and we've been talking and discussing, kind of putting together a plan and getting some information, and ultimately get together a bid, submit that bid, and then take it to our finance committee and council to see if ultimately if they want to do the project. It'd be kind of on the side of the bridge below the railing area. There's kind of an area, if you look on the bridges downtown, and that would be kind of, and there'd be like dome lights there, and
hope
would be, and they would be spaced however distance they need to be spaced. And then they'd be LED, and then you could hopefully have different color combinations and do some things like that.
Okay, I see. That's what I was going to ask, is the details of your idea. Okay, all right.
Yeah, you know, there's ideas where you can get lights that shine up or shine down, and we just kind of felt that downtown would be nice, you know, if you're standing in a park or along the riverbank, that you could see the lit bridge down the side versus having lights shine up and maybe be a distraction.
It's something that's fun. It adds to our town. It adds, again, to the life and livelihood of our town and everything. It's also one of those things, Shane, that you notice, too, and I think a lot more people are picking up on this now. This is one of those ways we attract people. This is one of the ways we keep people in town. And that's one of the biggest, you know, name of the game right now for almost any city is keeping your population and bringing new people to it.
Yeah, when I was city clerk, there's a gentleman that worked in the mayor's office, Nick Flanagan, and he was part of a leadership group. And that leadership group was the one that came up with the idea of lighting the bridge. And, you know, they put together a lot of work and a lot of information and did some fundraising, which there's money available to kind of pair in with the money that we have. But they just couldn't get it across the finish line. It was just kind of too much. And then I believe another leadership group had tried to push it across the finish line. And so really I'm trying to pick up that torch and finish what two leadership groups have attempted to try to make happen in the community.
Well, it's not my money, so I'm not trying to throw it around. Doesn't feel like it's something that's going to our city is going to be in debt for decades like that. It's nothing that heavy. But to me, when I look at these things, I look at the floor and the ceiling. And okay, the floor, not too bad. Not a bad budget. It doesn't have the effect we hope it does. No harm, no foul, almost. The ceiling, though. The positives that can come from something like this far outweigh anything that could talk about in the floor of it. So I think the potential is not only there, but, man, I'd love to see something like this come about. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, not to get overcomplicated on the radio, but it's in a TIF district. And the downtown TIF district, what happens is all the tax dollars collected within that TIF district, whether it be county, school district, and the city, are meant and kept in that district to be able to be utilized for projects. And there's a time frame. And so they come up with a number of years ago, they came up with a project plan, and they list kind of different projects that could be done within that TIF district, and bridge lighting was one of them. So because of that, we have funds available in that TIF account that can be used for that project. And at the end of the life of the TIF, if that money isn't being used for what it was designed for, or being allocated, that money then is redistributed back to the other jurisdictions. So, you know, if we can keep that here in the community, do a project that was outlined in that project plan with that TIF dollars and that money set aside, that's a worthwhile use.
Very interesting. Thank you for that. I don't think most of us knew that. That's interesting.
Simplify as much as I could. You know,
it was well done.
It took a long time to kind of understand. We have multiple TIF districts in town. So, but yeah, this is the downtown TIF, and those funds are available to be used. And it's, as our finance director says, it's cash flowing. It's not a negative. So if there's money there and it's being utilized by what the planned projects were, then let's go for it.
Santa and Mrs. Claus are going to be at Winter Park. Stop by this Friday from 5 to 7 in the Warming House lobby area. Bring an unexpired, non-perishable food donation item and get a picture with the big man himself. Big shout out to our Winter Park Aquatic Center and all the great workers over there. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a lot of fun for everybody. Go on over there, check it out. Get your picture with Santa. As long as we're in that neck of the woods, sir, I'd like to kind of stay over there at what we kind of fondly in this area in Rapids call the strip, if you will, the bar section area down there. Most of us have seen in recent months or recent years, really, that area has kind of had this gone and this gone. There's been some work being done over there. The projects that are going, are they going to extend into the kind of the section that's already there? Are we going to be building even more? Are we kind of using that area where some of the other bars used to be, now going to be different built, something different is going to go there?
Yeah, so what we refer to at the city is the triangle. So that's kind of right across from the courthouse that had buildings in that's cleared. You know, it's always been the hope that a developer would be interested in developing that area. Well, specifically maybe commercial on the lower and residential on the upper, but we just haven't had a lot of interest in that. Now with the jail project going on, trying to figure out kind of that space down there and how that can be utilized for maybe events, maybe because of the jail project. You know, there's not a lot of places. You know, you got Jennings and some other businesses downtown, a couple of them to get a meal, but, you know, there's not a lot of options there.
Yeah.
So there's hopefully something can happen there. And we also own the Easttown Plaza, which is kind of right down in between a couple bars. And so we've been trying to you know, get developers interested in that and trying to utilize that space. So they're trying. Just trying to get people wanting to get on board and go for it.
Well, I would think that, and never to speak for the city or anything, but I know I do a lot of talking with a lot of community members. I do a lot of surveying with a lot of the community and on both sides of town and different people in different places that I don't always go. So I'm getting different takes and different things. And the overwhelmingly from this community, that is something that is appreciated. Attempts, trying, thinking about these things. I think that goes a long way. And it also gets people themselves, community members thinking, you guys could have ideas out there. You guys might have the perfect idea right there in that brain of yours, and you know, you just need to share it. That's important. There are no bad ideas when it comes to something like this. We can throw everything at the wall, see what sticks.
And we need that. We know, and we're not desperate, but we'd really like to see that area developed, and that's why it was kind of purchased throughout our last decade here. And you know, the goal is that we'd have one complete parcel that somebody could utilize, and so it just takes that right developer coming to town and say, "Aha, that's it," know. And but that's a wait and see game, and it's. But Kyle Kearns, our community development director, I know I was part of a developers tour that was put on by Synergy out of Wausau. It was Marshfield and Wisconsin Rapids. One day the developers were in Marshfield, the next day they were here. And, you know, and we specifically took that group downtown and showed them different locations and discussed with them some downtown things. So we're trying to get some interest in that.
We'll give you information at the end of the segment here of how you can reach the staff, the mayor's staff, and with ideas or any of these thoughts that you might have. The city recently awarded its 5-year shared ride taxi service to Running Inc. I wanted to touch on that with you, sir. First, for those that may not know, what is the shared ride program, and what can you tell us about Running Inc.?
Yeah, I think it's very important that we discuss this since it is kind of a hot topic right now. And so we apply every 5 years for a mass transit grant through the state and federal government so we can provide low-cost taxi options or transit options. We don't have any other buses or rail here, so ours is utilized for taxi services. And so what happens is we request bids from people. We receive 2 bids, and ultimately through a scoring process, Running Inc. was awarded that bid. And so there's been some up arms, you know, like, hey, why don't we just approve our previous provider and deny this one? And the problem is once you go through that process, it's a state process. Mm-hmm. It's all very specifically outlined. The procedures by the state is not something that we get to decide. And so what it comes once that process happens and a contractor or a provider is chosen, it comes down to, A, you pick that provider or you don't offer a service. There's not any second option or, you know, we can just do this one instead. It's this or nothing. And so we get almost $900,000 to provide this. So it's very much a reduced service, cab fee service for the utilizers of that. And it's very important in our community. So once it comes, like last night, it had to be approved. Otherwise, you can give you all that money back to the state and federal government, and we provide no taxi cab service other than any private service that wants to run a service at whatever rate they charge. And so it would have been a huge disservice to the community not having that service provided, especially all the people I talk to and the people that rely on that service to get to work or grocery shopping and appointments that can't drive.
And I know younger people that use the service, but specifically our older population, it takes a lot of use of that service. We owe it to them. We owe it to our community members to have this service. And in your position, you and your staff, this is what you're there for, to make these decisions, to do these things. We're thankful that the ball wasn't dropped. Right. Now, to me, that's where my focus goes. Who is awarded it, and that is a whole other category and stuff. And it to me, I feel like that's been answered with the numbering system that you mentioned there and everything. So to me, just having this and knowing that we do have it still, that's the key takeaway to me.
Yeah, and yes, about Running Inc. They have over 30 communities they represent or provide this service to. They employ over 600 people within their organization through the state of Wisconsin. So they are definitely experienced, and they've been through transitions before. I've received phone calls. You know, apparently we're running short on phone numbers here, so they're working through to try to get a phone number here. They've hired over 20 people, and most of them, I believe, are from the existing service. So they should be recognizing some familiar faces. Mm-hmm. And people ask about the fares, and currently the fares are going to remain the same. So it's not like they're coming in to increase the fares and do all those things. Because really the city, I guess, controls those fares.
Interesting.
And so, so it should be, you know, aside from just trying to get used to a new company coming in, they also are going to offer, like, you can go online and reserve cab times that way. That's something new that that the area hasn't seen before. And so there's going to be some new options, and so a little more increase in technology for the people that utilize technology. You can reserve cabs in advance online, and then also they're expanding the wheelchair van program. So because before, I know people had contacted me about, you know, they had troubles or they couldn't get a cab. So they're expanding that to make sure that they have more wheelchair van accessible to take people bound by wheelchairs to their appointments and not being denied. So we'll be seeing some changes coming up here. But the transition in, you know, December to January here, you know, there might be a couple of bumps and bruises. But I think right now it seems like talking to the owner is that it's the phone, you know, trying to get the phone number and making sure people have it. And they might, they're looking at maybe a call forwarding option. They're looking at a couple different options to get us to that point. But but there will be a phone number, and fares are going to remain the same.
I really appreciate that. Really important information. Thank you for that, sir. Thank you for the work you and your team are doing on this one. And we're looking forward to getting to know Running Inc. And it's great to have a company like that in town. Everything I've read about them, they are one of these places. They go into a town, they put into that town. They put their money where their mouth is and everything.
They also want to be involved in town, whether it be through donations, through other things. They want to be a part of the community like they are in many other communities.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see more about them and what develops from that.
So am I.
As a side note, and this isn't so much a local one. This is more me asking you as friends. And I really am curious about, I think this is one of the bigger topics going forward in the state of Wisconsin, the idea of Amtrak up and down the state and having that more accessible to people in towns like ours and Wausau and areas like that. I think it's, when we were kids, it was, well, this would be really interesting. That'd be kind of cool. Now as an adult, it's just a matter of time. I don't believe, you can go ahead and throw this back in my face 20 years from now if it doesn't happen, but I believe in the next 20 years or so, this is going to happen. It's just a matter of time. Do you see the same thing? Because I feel like it's just, it's got to happen.
I agree, and I think the more, even piggybacking on the taxi cab, there's people out there that we used to have a bus service that stopped here in town that would run to Madison, some places. Now I believe you have to go to Point because it's no longer, and so looking into that, that was something outside the city's control. But I think people for making those day trips and those type of things would benefit having rail service available to do that, since they can't drive or don't want to drive in a bigger city. And I do believe it's going to be kind of a thing that's growing. My nephew lives outside of Chicago, and in his town, he can hop a train and take it downtown Chicago for work, and that's what he does, you know, and they don't have to drive and deal with traffic and cars. And
That's how cities are made. As a city kid, I'll tell you, when I was living in, I was living in DeKalb, which is about 2 hours away from Chicago, but I was working in Chicago, and I was never late for work. I was always on time. I always had, there was plenty of, it was nothing to do that, to drive up to Geneva, take the Amtrak, take it down. It was a fun trip. And it made the city better. Like, you want cities like ours to thrive and to be stronger. They don't usually, it isn't just locals that are working at these businesses. It's bringing people from out of town and then being able to excessively get to that town.
Yeah, my nephew lives in Geneva, and that's what he
right
does.
Up,
hops,
right up, right up.
Hops the train and heads in, you know.
Very cool.
Goes downtown.
It's a great service, and I feel like it's only a matter of time before it's up and down the state. And it's only going to make this state stronger, I think.
Absolutely.
It's a matter of time.
Yeah, it'll get people, you know, north and south in these locations rather quickly. You can avoid the highways and the traffic and the interstates and all those type of things, and you can just sit back and relax.
We're speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer and have our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media sitting in with us. Shane, I wanted to talk about your call for citizen appointees for the city commissions.
Yeah, you know, we're always looking. Right now we have a couple of openings on the Board of Zoning Appeals and Board of Review. You can contact our office if you want to get more information. Board of Review is more so regarding assessments. And so, you know, realtors, bankers, attorneys, those are all always good. And it's they meet like once or twice a year. So it's not a huge commitment. Board of Zoning Appeals is where if you have a zoning issue, you can appeal to this. It's kind of a judicial group, and they have the final say unless you appeal it to circuit court. Like if you want to, if you're set back from your property lines 2 feet and you want to go 1 feet, this board will review that for you. I know when my term comes to an end here, and I've already been, Emily and I are kind of doing a sheet to get ready, pass on information to the next person to hopefully make that transition a little easier for that person. That they're going to have some boards and commission appointments that they need to make. So we're kind of getting those ready. So when that handoff happens, or as soon as that election happens, we can get that information to them to start getting going on that process. It's hard to find people, you know. And you know, as mayors change, people on those boards and commissions might change because of loyalties. And you know, I found the same thing, and it's just the way it is. And so the next mayor might need some help filling some positions, and hopefully those people on there that are coming to the end of term have enjoyed their service and want to continue, which makes it even easier.
Yeah, and getting board members, getting people to join committees, these things, one of the more important things we're looking at going forward here, because this is something that is happening in all kinds of communities across the country, getting more and more people to be involved with these. And we know that we got great citizens out there. Just need you to step up, need you to be a part of these. If people want to find out more, send them to the website, wirapids.org.
Correct. Okay. Yep, it's all out there. And then actually out there, Emily had created an application form, so you can kind of fill it out, send it in. And then we'll have that on file. But yeah, it's, you know, like I said, you can get on a board or commission that meets a couple times a year, or you can get on a board or commission that meets a couple times a month. So there's kind of everything in between. And so it's just kind of, if you've got an interest or maybe a skill set that could help out, you know, that's a good way to get involved, like you said.
Shane, I'm curious. It's been at least a couple months since your news, your announcement that you would not be running for a third term. How's it going? How are things been since? The dust has settled a little bit. The town knows, you know, people who didn't hear know by now. How has it been, the feedback, and how have you been doing?
Yeah, it's been good. You know, it's kind of surreal. Yeah. It's coming to an end, and it's coming to an end by my choice. But you know, I'm not going anywhere, and so I plan to be in the community and hopefully stay involved and be able to be a part of the community. You know, I have people trying to talk me out of it and want me to run, but I have officially filed my non-candidacy papers the other day. There's a candidate running that I plan on supporting or have been supporting, and I'm going to continue going that path. And yeah, but it has, for myself, I hate to say it, but I kind of feel useless because, you know, we kind of quack at each other. Yeah, I'm the lame duck, you know. Not like, what are you going to do? You're not going to start a big project other than maybe this bridge lighting. And if we get her done, we get it done. But if not, I'll probably support the next mayor that hopefully can get across the finish line. But it's a project that I think is worthwhile. But yeah, otherwise, I'm just kind of showing up, and I still return my phone calls and I answer my emails and meet with people and, you know, still working with staff. We've got a budget that we're starting January 1 that, you know, I have to keep that on task until April 15th, my last day. And so, yeah, but it's kind of it's a strange feeling because I'm always used to working and doing something all my life, and now I'm just kind of got these 4 months where I'm just kind of in limbo.
You've earned that, though. You've earned that. You put so much work. I would say in the 2 terms that you've done 4 terms worth of work, and you've had 4 terms worth of experiences with a pandemic and some other stuff thrown in there.
Closing, and there's been some big things going on that,
Before I go too far into this topic, I did hear from listeners a couple of times because they love our interviews, and I really appreciate the listeners' feedback on these things. I did hear from a couple people, I don't bring up the mill enough. I don't bring it up, but there's no new news. There's nothing to tell there, right?
We've met with the president of Billy Roots North America. We've done Zoom calls with them. They've been marketing it. There was somebody interested, but not maybe to run it as a mill. And so, but we haven't heard anything more on that. I have a lot of contacts over there, and I hear from people. They'll message me like, oh, they're putting together pallets for auctions over there. But I can never confirm any of that. And unfortunately, you know, boy, we'd like to see a lot happen, and we're doing what we can to push. But ultimately, it's up to the owner of what they want to do with the property. And it seems like, unfortunately, they're content with leaving it as is at this point, which doesn't make sense to me, but
they also don't want to talk to us. I've tried a couple of times to reach out and get them on the air with me, because I got questions, and I think the city does, but they don't want to take those. And so the ball is in their court, as it has been for like a couple of years now. It's been this way. So if I don't bring it up, I've got a very limited amount of time with the mayor. I don't want to waste our time. I don't want to waste the listeners' time. If there's new news, we're going to be hitting out of the course.
Absolutely.
But there just wasn't much there.
I sometimes feel like they bought two mills and they got the third one for free, you know,
and
that's really the sad part about how it seems to play out to me. But yeah, just the lack of.
Yeah,
I don't understand. I just don't understand.
I hear you. It's how not to run a business, it seems like. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, but I keep thinking when you're that big of a company worldwide that, you know, as we were once referred at a sale was we were the minor asset in Wisconsin Rapids, you know, even though we're the largest mill in Wisconsin and, you know, we consume the most timber and produce the most paper. And I don't know. It's such a big company that is.
Yeah, I wonder how much they even know what's going on the other side of the building, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're so focused on they're redoing the mills up in Escanaba and Quinnesec, and, you know, they're converting one of them in the process. And so I think they seem to be focused on that. And here we sit.
I'm looking forward to next month already. I do want to wish you and yours a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We're looking forward to talking more next year, and I want to talk more about some of the candidates and some of the things coming up. So a big thank you again, Shane. Have a great holiday.
Yeah, I appreciate it, and you also to your family and everybody around here and to our friends at Community Media.
Yes, our friends at Community Media. Have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to all you guys, and thank you so much for the work you all do. Appreciate you.
Go easy on eggnog.
Yes. And have a safe and Merry Christmas, everybody. Shane, thanks again for the time.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, Locally Grown Radio.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, Locally Grown Radio.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey folks, Jimmy K here. Join me, Rocker, and Terry Barr for Max Inc. Saturday Night. It's your weekly look at the Wisconsin music scene with a lot of fun, debut music, interviews with the artist, and live in the lair. It's Max Inc. on Saturday night across the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturday night, 6 to 10 p.m., and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. An Antigo man has been charged with multiple counts of drug dealing. 24-year-old Brady L. Mevis is charged with two counts of conspiracy to deliver methamphetamine, maintaining a drug trafficking place, as well as other charges related to drug dealing. Law enforcement responded to Brady Mevis's home in August for a 911 call. Responding officers found Brady on the floor, shot in the shoulder. They discovered containers of THC and methamphetamine in the home while investigating the shooting. On this and other evidence, they continued their investigation and learned large amounts of drugs were being shipped to Antigo through the mail and being distributed by Mevis and others. Brady Mevis will make his initial court appearance on January 8th. Stock boxes will be available in Wisconsin Rapids starting in January for those over 60 with limited income. You can register by calling 211 or the United Way. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A sunny and vibrant day. Winds are much calmer, so it's feeling a bit better as high temperatures today climb to the upper 30s. Tonight will be mostly cloudy and mild with a low around 30. And here's a gift. By Sunday, we'll be flirting with the 50s. Right now, it's 39.
'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house, not a creature was stirring. Not even a mouse. No one was moving. No one was there. The septic had backed up. There was yuck everywhere. It wasn't a good thing, no, not at all. To have that smell linger through bathroom and hall, Mom was left crying, the kids plugged their noses, Dad tried to fix it with buckets and hoses. But then came the answer for everyone there. They called Crockett Septic in their time of despair. Crockett Septic came running with the help that they needed. The family was saved, the problem was treated. Crockett Septic had fixed it, the problem was gone. No smell in the house, no leak on the lawn. And now there's no reason for the family to cry. Even the Crockett Septic truck smelled like sweet cherry pie. They jumped in their honey wagon and drove out of sight with a Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Crockett Septic can handle all your septic, holding tank, and porta potty needs. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. That's 712-3456. Merry Christmas from everyone at Crockett Septic.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this December 20th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. Welcoming to the studio our great friends from the Family Center. We have our good friend Amy Scheid with us, Administrative Development and Volunteering Coordinator. Got to get that title right, Amy. Got to get it right.
That's right, James. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for being here. Appreciate it. And you brought a friend with you.
I did. Today I have Tia with me. She is one of our volunteers extraordinaire. She works with in-kind donations and volunteers with us every week.
Amy, you and I have been talking for a while now about different ways that people can help at the Family Center. They can make an impact. They can do some good. This time of year, that vibe, that feeling, that spirit is all around and all in us. Perfect time, I think, to be able to really hit on this and talk about this, really, really key in on it, if you don't mind.
You bet. It is the season of giving, James. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the really fantastic things about this time of year is it really gives us a chance to reflect on what we have that we can give to others to help improve their situation. And I'd like to touch on today treasure, mm-hmm. which, of course, in the midst of our annual appeal, it's important for nonprofits to receive the funds necessary to do their valuable work, but also treasure. And that's one of the reasons why I have Tia here with me today as one of our fantastic volunteers.
Yeah, now we're going to put Tia to work. I mean, talk to her in a second. But what I wanted to do, if you don't mind, Amy, for a moment, and as I always like to mention, I am on the board at the Family Center. I am very biased on this topic, and I'd like to think that an overwhelming majority of people are out there on this topic. The importance of the Family Center and the work that you guys do in this town. For me, and again, it's just my opinion, I believe it is the most vital work going on in our community. It involves all facets of family. It involves too many different layers and topics for me to do a wrap up in 25 minutes. But I think it's pretty commonly known by now the important work that is being done. So with that being said, it's all the more important that we are able to give back and donate and help you guys do the work that you are doing. Something we get to talk about from time to time, but I don't think we really get to focus and really put a spotlight on the donations part of things. I do want to mention, this is a little different now because we've got new ownership and I got a little bit of a better paycheck now. But years ago when Sue and Deb asked me to be, it was a two-pronged attack. I had no chance. I was going to be on that board. When they asked me to be on the board, I'm the last person in the world I ever thought of as a board member for anything. I mean, even like a Simpsons board, I didn't think people would put me on. I didn't think of myself that way. But the first thing that occurred to me was, well, this is my way to give back. I don't have the money. I don't have a lot of time to be able to volunteer, but I can do something like this. And so I just wanted to touch on that really quick to people out there, that we are in need of board members, and not just with the Family Center, but a lot of our community businesses and nonprofits are looking for board members, are looking for people to be a part of these things. And that is another way that you can give back and put back into your community.
Absolutely. And I would challenge you, if you think that you wouldn't have something to give to an organization such as ours, that board service is a fantastic way for you to learn more about an organization, and I promise you, you have skills and knowledge that will be helpful to that board or to the individual organization itself if you care to volunteer in an individual level.
I was thinking about this over the weekend doing some prep for the interview, Amy, and this is actually hits on something that you and I are familiar with. It made me think of when I talk to my students about acting, and you want to be a good actor. work behind the stage, work back behind the scenes and everything. That's how you really become better at theater, understanding all the nooks and crannies and how things are worked in the back. It's similar to this, what you were saying about being on a board. It is an opportunity for you to see a little bit more of what's going on in the behind the scenes and happenings, and understanding, I think, a little more empathy towards what's happening there.
Absolutely. And any of the ways in which you might give to the board of directors, such as being on the fund development committee, on governance, those are great opportunities for you to learn more about the organization and your community as well.
Okay, I think now we can put Tia on the spot. Now we can do it. Now ease her into it and everything, right? Oh, Tia, thank you again for being here. Appreciate it. And Amy, Tia is a donations coordinator.
Absolutely.
Is that the right character?
Okay. Yep. She's one of two at this time. We're always looking for more help for her.
She works
very, very hard. How many hours a week do you work, Tia?
Usually about 7, sometimes a little more.
So one of the things we were talking about on the drive over is that any time we have a volunteer that comes in for an hour, that is 1 hour of work that the team can then turn and give direct services to the clientele that we serve. So by Tia coming in 7 hours a week, she frees the staff to have 7 hours of direct client service. And that's an amazing gift to us as well as our clients. Yeah. So what do you do in a given day, Tia?
We get food bags ready for outreach. We rotate and stock all the dry goods in the pantry. We take in the donations. We usually spend quite a bit of time talking to the people who bring the stuff in for us. So that's nice. We build relationships with people and each other while we're doing this.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Tia, with something like that, what got you to want to be involved with this?
I am actually a survivor of domestic violence myself. And it was December 15th, 2021, when the Family Center helped me. So it was my duty to come back when I was in a better place and give back.
Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate that. And thank you for being so brave. And not only that, but seeing that, having the insight to see that. Not everybody does. Appreciate that. And I appreciate the wanting to give back. I think people have that feeling from time to time, but they don't follow through on it always. Well, good on you for doing that. That's awesome. With that being said, though, how often do you get donations?
We get at least one every time I'm there, I would say. Right now with Christmas, it has just been absolutely amazing. It is constant. That we are so busy. I'm tired by the time I'm done.
I hate to hear that, but at the same time, that's a good thing.
Good.
That's really good to hear. That my heart literally like warmed up from that. That is awesome to hear. Not that I had necessarily an answer in my head, but I didn't know what to expect. So that is really cool to hear. But we also know that there's always going to be needs. There's always going to be we can't have enough donations. There's more that can be had and needed. I wouldn't mind taking a second to touch on some of those more. What are more needs than others right now, Amy, if there's anything in particular?
Yeah, and I would just say that while this is the season of giving, we need 12 months out of the year to be the season of giving. And while we are just so grateful to how the community has stepped up these last few weeks, if you have a moment to visit our Facebook page, I've been trying to catch pictures of different organizations and individuals who come in and donate either to our holiday program or to our pantry needs. It has just been overwhelming. There was a moment yesterday when I was calling any staff that could go to the donations door to take a picture because I was at the business door taking a picture while someone was coming into the general entrance. All three doors were being populated by donors, which has not happened in my 2+ years. And then all
Man,
of that.
Man, that's a cool story.
That's great.
That's all great.
All the bells are ringing. Mm. And then all of those materials go back into donations for Tia, who comes in the morning and goes, what in the heck happened to
me? Yeah.
What did she do to me?
And
then she's
making
me go
clean.
To radio. She left her cohort back there to deal while she's here with me. But, yeah, throughout the year, things that we need, if you can imagine just for a moment what communal living is like for the sheer volume of people that we serve, clearly laundry soap, toilet paper, cleaning supplies, anything along those lines is always a need. Toilet paper, paper towel, cleaning supplies, laundry supplies. In pantry, what would, Tia, what would you say the most frequently requested items are?
Pancake syrup.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, who knows?
There's always someone coming down for pancakes.
Makes sense, though. Now that I hear it, that makes sense.
There, yeah.
Yes. And we have kids coming like crazy right now. It's a joyous part of what we do to serve those secondary victims. We wish there wasn't a need for us to do so, but they are a joy to us during the holiday season. And Tia and our volunteers, as well as the donors that have been giving, and my team at the Family Center is certainly helping to make their holidays bright.
I would say for the first couple of years that I mostly interviewed Deb, she would be the one coming on, and I'd tell her whether it was on air or off air every time she came in, I wish you didn't have a job. I wish we didn't need you. I wish you were bored. I wish you were doing something else. We didn't even need these services, but we do.
Yes.
And I don't play this card very often, but you mentioned the children. And I'd like to think it, when we're doing these conversations, we're having these discussions, every once in a while, it's not as much as it used to be. Every once in a while, I get somebody out of the woodwork comes out and asks, you know, why we're spending so much time on a subject like this. It's the future. Like, I researched this weekend. Kids are the future, it turns out. And that seems pretty important to me. So if there's any other, because you got people that are in this gray area these days. I think most people are either in that area or they're one side or the other for it. But for the most part, most people that I talk to are on one side of this issue. And they are on the right side of history when it comes to it. There is no situation in human history where it is okay to hurt somebody you love.
Absolutely.
Period. And it is very uncool to be doing this and unhealthy to be doing this to children who are growing up and going to be running our jobs, running our country one day. This all comes full circle. This all adds up. You want your community to be stronger. You want your community to have a better future. Add to the Family Center. Help the Family Center. It's as simple as that. This isn't rocket science. Sometimes it's Occam's razor. It is right under your nose. This is something that helps our future of our city, our community, and our country.
I would agree with you wholeheartedly, James, and I will tell you that the work being done by our Child and Family Services individual, Elizabeth, she's fantastic. Ashley's out in the schools talking about violence prevention. Our advocates do an amazing job of ensuring that they're meeting the needs proactively, reactively, of secondary victims as well as primary victims, and trying to eliminate victimization in totality.
Getting the chance to sit in this chair for the last 7-8 years, I've talked to senators, congressmen, I've talked to my mayors, I've talked to a number of different people, and I stress to them, whether it's on air or off air, how I think the biggest concern we have in this state and going forward, maybe in this country, is child care. But right under that is this, right under that. And the two are very intertwined in many ways, too. So really, you help with one, you're helping with another in some ways, not completely, but in some. These are topics that we need to face, and we need to face with our head up. Long gone are the days of talking, of having this whole discussion like this. We're not doing that anymore. Yes, exactly.
Yep.
And with that, we want more and more people to be involved in these things. And sometimes you can be loud with your donation. Not everybody speaks up. Not everybody feels comfortable saying something or what have you. But plenty of people can do that. Tia, if you don't mind, when it comes to the job, when we're looking for people to kind of assist with this, to looking at other donation coordinators and everything, who do you think the type of person would be really good for a job like this?
Energetic, just, hard worker.
Yeah.
Come in,
yeah.
Be ready to do what you're going to do and just start. That's how Terry and I both are. We take a look around, we see what needs to be done, and we just make a plan and go.
They're both amazing. They get an awful lot done, and I feel very privileged to work with them and know that donations is an area that is just working like a well-oiled machine, that those folks that give to our organization know that their donation is going to be processed in a way that serves the client best, and that those items are going to outreach, to shelter, wherever they need to go.
We are speaking with Amy and Tia from the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. And Amy, you were touching on something before, and it's something that I like to reference whenever we can. Whenever usually we're wrapping up an interview and we have some topics we're talking about, and I like to bring up volunteering towards the end of the interview and ways people can give back. And, you know, if you go over there and you shovel or you mow, it may not seem like a big deal, but that's one more way of freeing up the staff over there. You were hitting on that more detailed, though, with more actual logistics and knowledge that really is really helpful from this. Do you mind, with all respect, breaking down a little bit of what the services is like, a family comes in, and the work that goes into that, so that the audience can understand why it's so important that we can free you up, why you can have that time to be able to do those things, and great people like Tia and that are doing that other work.
Absolutely. So one of the reasons why funds are so valuable in our organization is that we're funded with some government grants. However, those are taking a significant, and by significant, there's just not a word big enough for the level of decrease in support we're going to be getting from the state and federal government in coming years. So any of that work, that direct service work that we spoke of, we're going to be seeing more and more need for that work to be funded. So in our organization, when someone comes through our door, they might need the services of the folks that are answering our 24-hour manned phone line. They might be coming into shelter, so they're going to need the services of our shelter coordinator. They might need advocacy from a legal standpoint. They might need Hmong services. They might need child and family services. Really, we are designed in such a way to have advocacy for every need that a victim might have. So any of those direct services need to be funded, and more so than ever before. Mm-hmm. We're already seeing cuts. We're already seeing organizations in our state close. And we are at capacity, and also a word that is not large enough to describe our current condition. Mm-hmm. Tia was brave enough to share the date in which she received services from our organization. Sadly, we see intake at an astronomically high level over the holidays. We were just speaking about our holiday program and the fantastic donors we have that bring the holidays to our clients. They like to have those lists before Thanksgiving, and it's with great sadness that we always ponder the fact that if only the clients we were serving at Thanksgiving were the only clients we were going to serve before the end of the year. Mm. So the needs of new clients coming in are always significant. So when we say it's the season of giving, mm-hmm. we need that treasure, yeah. but we also need the time and talent of people like Tia that will come in, or those that drop off in-kind donations, or those that volunteer to do things like lawns and sidewalks. Every aspect of that volunteer service, whether it be twice a year mm-hmm. to help me with a fundraiser, or once a week, and a time that's good for you to do some of the work that will free us to serve clients directly.
And then that work, I'm sorry, this topic gets me. That work that you guys are doing, the details and what you gave us right there, I really appreciate, Amy. It expands beyond that, too, when you look at the community outreach and the different things that are going on there. You touched on that a little bit with the work going on in schools and some of that. That can't be done if we don't have these other positions and these other things taken care of as well. So the sharing of knowledge, the spreading of knowledge, the sharing of understanding on this topic. Even just the simpleness of this topic being discussed in schools, that's something that's completely different than almost than what we grew up with. That's a new day. But we need to get there. We need to be able to have that, and you guys be able to free to be able to do that.
Absolutely. And prevention, just a little caveat that, James, you know, prevention is not funded by the government.
Yeah.
So that position, it's really important that we see financial support for that.
Excuse me for a second as I get on my soapbox here. That is why it is so important to know who your politicians have in their pocket. Be sure to be smart about your vote, be informed, do your homework, and know where these politicians stand on this subject. If you don't know, ask them. Ask them.
Absolutely.
And if they don't give you a straight answer, you just got your answer.
And everyone can do that.
Yes.
You don't have to be on the radio to do that.
Exactly.
You can get on your phone this afternoon and call Senator Tustin's office or Krug's office,
yeah.
Whoever. There's legislation being proposed right now to fund part of that gap.
Mm-hmm.
And I took my 17-year-old daughter to the state capitol with me last month to discuss educate, not lobby, James, educate them on what we're seeing, that we're way higher in the amount of domestic violence homicides in the state of Wisconsin than we should be, sixth in the nation, and our legislators need to know that and the impact of these funding cuts that are going to be significant.
I talk to these individuals all the time, once a month. Tustin, Krug, they're on the air with us, and we butt heads, we argue, and by the end of the conversations, we're laughing or talking, you know?
Absolutely.
These are people that they want your conversations. They want to hear from you. They are trying to represent their community to the best, and in order for them to do that, we've got to do our work, too, in making sure that they know these things, that they are important to us, that Wisconsin Rapids, that Wood County is a town that we're not gonna take light this moment anymore. This is we have finally gotten to a point in human history, and it took a long time to get here, but we're there, and we're not going backwards. You're not putting the genie back in the bottle with this. And sometimes I think that whether it's a politician or it's people in positions of power, they get in bubbles, and they don't always understand the world that they're living in and the world they're around. And that can happen on a rural level as well as on a state level or a national level. And I think that can be the case sometimes with these. So if we don't bring these things up, it falls on us as much as it does them for them to get things done. But once the ball is in their court, then that's where it comes back again. Know who's in their pocket, know who they are voting, or where their votes are going to go, and how important that is. Because there, not only is there no going back on this subject, unfortunately, it's not going anywhere. These numbers, as we see, Amy, what you touch on there, I've lived in this state for half my life, and if there's one thing I learned, Wisconsinites are very proud of being from Wisconsin, and that's cool. That's very cool. I'm all about that. Be proud of your roots and everything. I would think if you're a proud Wisconsinite, that hit you. That hit you hard.
Yeah,
that hit you worse than a Packer loss. It shoulda. It shoulda. And if it doesn't, I question your loyalty to your state. Because, again, coming back to a full circle kind of look at this approach and how important this topic is. I was just talking with Mayor Blazer, and one of the bigger topics to us on air, off air, is a population and keeping your population intact. And there's a couple of things we've seen to help populations in the last 10 to 20 years, really. They're dog friendly. Communities that are dog friendly are seeing an increase in population. We're seeing that. And communities that are approaching this topic, that they are taking on domestic violence and they're not blinking. That's very vital to your population of your town. So again, coming back to something else like this, if you don't care about domestic violence, maybe you care about your taxes. Maybe you care about your city's population. All of this adds up. That's why it's all the more important to be able to donate to the Family Center and help them do the work that they're doing. It all is attached. It's all connected.
I would agree. And we had just shy of 5,000 bed nights this past year. So the need is there. The need is there for the season of giving and beyond to give to this organization, to give your time or your talent to this organization. Come hang out with Tia for a day. She'll tell you all about what we need and what would be the best way to serve our clients. And she makes a darn good, fun day of
it
doing
fun.
It.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it.
Have a good
it.
Time.
Mm. Yes.
That's why I keep coming back.
And there's chocolate in my office. She
there
likes
is.
That, too.
Well, I think we buried the lead there. Wait a minute. There's chocolate? I didn't know that. Amy, we got just a couple of minutes left before we wrap up. I did want to mention that there are some other positions that the Family Center is looking to fill.
Yes. Yes, we do have need of a part-time shelter advocate as well as a visitation coordinator at this time. So I would encourage you to look at our website for those open positions. And if you're interested in donating of your time or talent, as we are spending time on today, our Facebook page has What We Need Wednesday that comes out every Wednesday. It talks about volunteer opportunities or what we literally need. Right now it's pull-ups and baby undies and socks, I believe, are the primary need. The kids just keep coming. And on the website, you'll see our volunteer application. We would love to see you. Just fill it out. Just fill it out. It'll come directly to me. We can work out if you've got 4 hours a year, if you've got 4 hours a month, 4 hours a day. Also, please take a look at that donations page. If you think that you're able to share $10 a month, you can set it up reoccurring, and every penny helps.
Amy, if people want to, if people want to find out more about this and have follow-up questions, how can they reach you?
They can reach me at info@familyctr.org. They can send a message through our Facebook page, through our website. It all comes to me first, and if I'm the wrong person, I'll be sure to connect you with the right person. If you have questions about what we do, please call. If you have questions about your situation or you feel that you're not in a healthy relationship any longer, our crisis line is up on our Facebook page, on our website. We will get you connected with somebody who can help you.
That phone number that you can call is 24/7 crisis line. That 421-1511, 715-421-1511. Tia, thank you so much for being here today. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
And Amy, always good to see you. Thank you so much for what you do.
James.
Please say hi to the staff for us and everything. And a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and New Year to you and yours and all of the members of the Family Center.
Thank you. We appreciate you, James.
We will take a break. We will have some more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown.
WFHR,
radio.
Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE Broadcasting.